Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
So he who reaps receives wages. You know, you've heard this before. It's true. There's really not anything you can take to heaven with you. You can amass all of the wealth imaginable, but when you die, it stays right here. It does not go anywhere. But there is one thing you can take to heaven. You can take the souls of men and women.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapter 4, verses 27 through 42, in a message titled, "The Fields Are White for Harvest." Now here's Pastor Brian.
Jesus owns everything, and guess what? He's going to give it to his followers in the end. So don't strive to get it now. Wait. He's going to give it to you ultimately anyway. And you see, the whole point is that while everybody else in the world, that's what they're preoccupied with, we're not to be concerned with that because it's all ours anyway. And it's ultimately going to be given to us in the future. We are to be concerned with and taken up with the things of the kingdom here and now, not worrying about those things, but having that same attitude. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And of course, it was in this particular instance, it was bringing the truth and the life of God to this woman. But now listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Now, evidently, there was a saying, and of course, this is an agricultural society, and so people would have been very familiar with farming, with planting the seeds, and ultimately with harvesting the crops and things of that nature. And of course, the Lord used those things to illustrate spiritual realities. And so they had a saying, 4 months and then comes the harvest. Jesus isn't talking about a harvest of fruit or vegetables at this point. He's talking about a harvest of souls. And I would imagine that as he said this, probably looking in the distance, there was that crowd of people coming out of the town with the woman coming to hear what he had to say. And here they were among the Samaritans. You remember this despised group of people. And here's this crowd coming toward Jesus. And he says, "Look, lift up your eyes. The fields are already white for harvest." The fields are white for harvest. In another place, Jesus said, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest." As I said a moment ago, you know what things are really about in this present age? They're really about a harvest. It's about reaping. It's about gathering in souls into the kingdom. That is our primary purpose for being here. And we have got to get that into our thinking process. That's not just what the pastor is to do, or the evangelist is to do, or the missionary is to do. It's what we're all to be involved in, this great harvest that God is bringing in. And he has us scattered and situated in all kinds of different places. You know, I believe that we all ought to think in terms of missions. Not necessarily meaning that you have to pack your bags and head off to another country, but that when you step out your door in the morning and go out into the world, you are going out into the mission field. When you go off to work, I would imagine that most of you go off to work at a place where you are the minority. Most of the people around you are not believers. So what does that tell you? It tells you you're a missionary. That's your mission field. It's the people that God has placed you amongst. And that's the attitude that we as believers need to adopt. Jesus said the fields are white. The fields are white for harvest. You know, as we look around the world today, the fields are white for harvest. So many people lost without the knowledge of Christ. And I believe many of them are just, they're waiting to hear. Many are waiting to hear. And, you know, as Christians, we need to understand that the church is really intended by God to be, you know, this community of people that are on a mission. And you think of groups of people historically that have been on a mission. And take, for example, communism. What did you have with communism? You had numbers of people who adopted a philosophy. They had a shared philosophy and vision for the world, and then they pooled all of their resources together, and they put their best foot forward and gave all of their energy to trying to spread that philosophy. And they were amazingly successful. And back in those days when there was all of that zeal for communism, there were Christian writers and leaders who would look on and say, man, if we had half the zeal amongst believers that the communists have, we could spread the gospel around the world. But how is it that that is so often the case? People who don't have the truth are often more zealous than people who do have the truth. But we need to understand what the church is to be. We are a community of people with a shared vision and a specific mission, and the mission is to get the gospel out to as many people as possible. That's what we're doing here. And we all have a different role to play, a different part to play, a different contribution to make, but that's the overall vision. You know, you think of it when you get a community of people with a shared vision. Regardless of what the vision is, you get a community of people with a shared vision and a passion to see it accomplished, that group of people are going to do some pretty significant things. Sadly, though, the church is so often confused about what we're even supposed to be doing, and we're so busy fighting with each other and arguing about this and that that we can't even get the thing rolling. And it's really, I'm sure, a grief to the Lord. But the fields are white. And as we just scan the globe, you think of nations with multitudes of people that have never heard the gospel, people that would love to hear the story of Jesus. They'd love to hear the truth about Jesus. The fields are white for harvest. But you see, I can't be stuck in a mentality that, well, you know, this is just, you know, who I am and what I am, and this is where I'm from, and I've never known anything else. I've got to be open to say, Lord, the fields are white for harvest. Maybe you want to send me somewhere else. You know, so often Christians get bogged down over things like, well, you know, I really like the weather here. And, just the culture is so nice right here. You know, you know, this is really cozy and comfortable for me. Oh, it's fine. Good weather's great. But, you know, that's not what it's all about ultimately, is it? And living in a nice, comfortable environment, that's a good thing. But if God's saying, you know, I've got something different for you, I want to bust you out of that, we have to realize that that's a very real possibility. Because that's what the Lord is into. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. So all around the world, you name it, all around the world, I believe that Southern California is probably, well, it's at least one of the few places on earth where there is an abundance of ministry going on, an abundance of teaching, and an abundance of great churches. And, you know, it's a wonderful place spiritually. But these kinds of places are few and far between. And anybody who's left the area, you know, you find out pretty quickly, oh, boy, it's a different world. You know, not too far up the road. As I've shared with you, my kids moved up about 50 miles north of San Francisco. And it's a whole nother world up there. It's a whole different thing. And wherever you want to go, there's a need everywhere. Abroad, all throughout the nations, hungry people waiting to receive the gospel. But again, God doesn't call everybody to pack up and move to another country, as I said. But right here at home, many, many opportunities. You know, I honestly do not understand the mentality of the person, especially a Christian, who looks around at their environment and, you know, is upset about the fact that people are immigrating, people are coming in from different cultures and nations and religions and all of that. You know, to me, that is a great blessing. It's the mission field is coming to us. And that's what God has done. I think of what this whole area was like 30 years ago. And those of you that have lived here for that long, you know, the culture was radically different. The makeup, the demographics were radically different. And it was predominantly just a white population for the most part. Of course, Santa Ana has been Hispanic for many years. But, you know, now 30 years have passed and people have come from all over the world. They've come from the Middle East. They've come from all different parts of Asia. And they've populated the surrounding areas. And, you know, sometimes I hear Christians complaining about that. I think, what is the matter with you? This is wonderful. This is great. God's bringing people here so we can bring the gospel to them, so we can get the gospel to them. And for many people coming out of Muslim cultures or Buddhist cultures or Hindu cultures or whatever, you know, it's a lot easier for them to come to faith in this environment than it probably was in their native country. And what you see the Lord doing, amazingly, you see the Lord sometimes bringing people here and getting them saved and then sending them back to their people. We have a young Japanese guy in the Bible college, and he recently was telling Dave Shirley that he left Japan because of his absolute hatred for Japan. Just did not want to be part of that culture any longer. So he left Japan. He came here to the States in search of, you know, life and prosperity and meaning, all that. In the course of being here, he gets saved. And he ends up at the Bible college. And he just went to Dave and he said, the Lord has spoken to me clearly. He's calling me back to Japan to take the gospel back to my people. And, you know, that's what's happening. And we have to understand that. We have to realize that. We have to think in those terms, because The fields are white. The harvest is great. But the laborers are few. But again, let me go back to an earlier point. Who is the laborer in this particular story? It's this woman. It's this simple, sinful woman. She becomes the laborer. She becomes the reaper. She suddenly got a crowd of people behind her, and they're all rushing toward Jesus. They want to hear the story. What is my point? My point is this. God wants to use you. And again, we've got to break out of the mentality that, well, I'm just little old me. You know, I probably can't do anything for the Lord. All of us are little old me. That's just the way it is. But it's not about who I am. It's about who he is and what he is able to do in a life that's yielded to him. That's simply what it comes down to. And so, listen as Jesus goes on. He says, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." So he who reaps receives wages. You know, you've heard this before. It's true. There's really not anything you can take to heaven with you. You can amass all of the wealth imaginable, but when you die, it stays right here. It does not go anywhere. But there is one thing you can take to heaven. You can take the souls of men and women. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Reaping, receiving wages, gathering fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. And listen to this, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. There's these two things, there's sowing and there's reaping. Sometimes you sow, but you don't have the opportunity to reap. Somebody else will later come along and reap. Sometimes we get hung up with this whole thing of sharing our faith because we do it and we don't see an immediate result. In other words, we don't have the kind of experience that's described here where Jesus speaks to this woman and she immediately gets saved. And so we get discouraged sometimes. We think, well, what use is it? You know, I talked to that person for 2 hours and then they shook my hand and said, see you later. But you know what you were doing? You were sowing. And nothing can ever be reaped unless it's first sown. So we should not be discouraged if we're not reaping. We just need to remember that perhaps God has appointed us to be the sowers. He will bring along the reaper. Sometimes he allows us to be the reaper. Sometimes you sit, talk to somebody for 10 minutes and suddenly they tell you, you know, I'd just love to receive Christ. You think, boy, that was easy. Well, you know what? There were a few people before you who walked away thinking, boy, that was tough. Man. You see, they were the sowers. But you get to reap. And then, of course, there are those occasions where you get to do both. It's just all at the same time. You sow something and then you reap it, and it's an amazing thing. You know, there's nothing more wonderful than sharing your faith with somebody, and there's nothing more glorious than seeing somebody come to put their trust in Jesus Christ. This 38th verse is a verse that's very dear to my heart because the Lord gave me this verse when he sent us to the UK, and I believe that it is yet to be fulfilled. I believe that we planted and have been planting and will keep planting. I believe there's a great harvest that's going to come. That's just my own personal conviction. So as we continue with the story and as we wrap things up, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Interesting. We have no information at all about the 2 day stay of Jesus with the Samaritans, except from John right here that he actually stayed with them 2 days. You wonder what happened in those 2 days. But these are some of the things that just are not recorded for us. Did he heal people while he was there? Did he raise people from the dead? Of course, he taught them. That's clear from the context here. But you wonder, what else did he do? And we know that shortly after Pentecost, it wasn't too long before the gospel actually came once again to the Samaritans. And there was a great work of the Spirit among them. So Jesus was there with them, spending those days with them, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So, they were touched by her testimony. Their curiosity and their interest in Christ was piqued as they heard her story, but then they went and they listened to him themselves. And you see, God will use us in our story. He'll use us to maybe just build a bridge. And you could just be that bridge that gets somebody to think about Jesus or to listen to a teaching or to come to a church service, and then they hear and they're convinced. Ultimately, we have to, each one of us ourselves, we have to be convinced because we hear Christ speaking to us. We can't go far on somebody else's relationship. We've got to have our own personal encounter with Christ. And that's what happened there among the Samaritans. They heard him for themselves, and they knew that he was indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What an amazing thing. Think of it in its context historically. The Samaritans know this is the Messiah. This is the Savior of the world. The Jews to whom he came, they didn't know it. And even though he ministered among them so thoroughly in comparison to the 2 days in Samaria, of course, many in Israel sadly never did draw the right conclusion. And so, as we close tonight, let's offer ourselves up to the Lord, realizing the harvest is great, and recognizing that that's why we're here. We're here to be involved in this great work of spreading the gospel, expanding the kingdom of God, sowing and reaping in God's great harvest field.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Years ago, Brian, who's in studio with me right now, said, "Cheryl, we need to get really honest about our marriage to the missionaries here in Austria. We need to tell them just the things that God has done in our marriage and how it hasn't always been easy." And so I said, "Okay, Brian, I'll do it." And it was quite a sacrifice. And what I found out was
that somebody actually was recording that session, and
right,
a video was produced from it. So it kind of came as a surprise to us. But as a result of that video, a lot of people somehow got blessed. And so that is our offer for this month.
My humiliation.
Your humiliation. And it's called Marriage Essentials. And it's from a few years ago. But I have had numerous people, seriously, over the years tell me how much it ministered to them. I've had people tell me that they've used it to share with their unbelieving friends. And because, you know, somehow it ended up being a very humorous occasion.
Well, our marriage is pretty humorous.
Pretty humorous.
It's got a lot of joy.
Yeah. All right. So that's a DVD, Marriage Essentials.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD set by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of Marriage Essentials, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD set by Pastor Brian and Cheryl that is sure to be a great gift for newlyweds, a help for marriages in trouble, and it's also an excellent tool for a marriage ministry. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.